About 50 people attended the monthly Coffee with the Mayor event Wednesday morning at the United Supermarket on Parkway Drive. A recent report from Lubbock citizen Nicholas Bergfeld addressing disparity concerns and the many aspects of that was a focus of the meeting. The following is a recording of the question and answer portion of the event. This recording has been edited to improve audio quality where possible.
Questions, comments? Yes, ma'am.
Have you read the disparity report, and what are your thoughts on it?
I have read the disparity report. My thoughts are, Nicholas is here, I told Nicholas this, I thought it was awful long. I think 48 pages is more than most people would want to read. I thought it was, knowing Nicholas as well as I do, I expected it to be a little better researched. I thought it was awful personal. I thought some of the ideas were really good. I thought some of the ideas I probably could never agree with. But, you know, it is what it is. But I have read it, and I think it would have been a lot more effective if it was one or two pages talking about the past and then the 15 pages talking about ideas for the future. But those are my thoughts about it. What do you want to talk about specifically? I read every word more than once.
Well, the report clearly evidences that the leadership of the city is planning on stripping out the resources of the center of the city and exporting that to the south and west of the city. The report, like, clearly highlights the evidence of this historically, and you're going to naysay it and sweep it under the rug?
I didn't naysay it. I said that's the way it, we didn't talk specifically about development. I'm not suggesting that the way we've developed has been perfect. In fact, we are looking right now at the way we develop going forward. But I think some of the ideas around development in there, I would argue with their the validity of those, but those are certainly Nicholas's points. Some are facts. Some are you know, more opinion. But those are my thoughts about it.
That is an opinion, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. You asked me a question, okay? Yes, sir.
So again, I'm not well versed in city economics, but basically what it seemed Nicholas was saying. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's lots of people here that could clarify that there's a regressive tax that the utilities use for road management. Something like the figure that was aggregate was $124 million. When you break that down, the south and west side gets essentially subsidized roadways over a period of time that are a negative net expenditure for the city, and that developers are using extractive wealth through the utility on the north side and the east side for people that pay for electricity and pay for services, and the majority of that money goes towards development of roadways not in their neighborhoods. And I think that's what a lot of people were floored with, because the average citizen, I think when you break it down for them, they think, wow, there's some sort of equal financial representation through my government, and they're actually going to repair the roadways near my house. But then when you read that report, you realize, no, it's just subsidizing land developers on the south and west side, and there's no sort of accounting relative to how that money is spent. Now, what about that? Is that not?
Well, first of all, there is accounting. There's accounting on where every dollar is spent.
Okay,
so let's talk about that for a minute. Because that you're talking about the Gateway Streets Fund, which has been in place for close to 20 years. Nobody sitting on this council put that in place. But if you read that, first of all, I would argue the regressive nature of franchise fees. Okay, all utilities pay franchise fees to the city for the rights of our or a payment in lieu of that. They pay that for the use of our right-of-ways. If that's a regressive tax, so is any base fee you pay for anything. And I think that's stretching the description of a regressive tax. And no, I'm talking. I listen to you. I'm going to talk. Okay? That's how this works.
Okay?
So, I'm glad to clarify. So that franchise fee, the Gateway Fund, was suggested in the Nicholas's piece to be just for South and Southwest Lubbock. Now, we built North Slide from 4th Street to Clovis Highway using the Gateway Fund. We built, we accelerated Marsha Sharp using the Gateway Fund. Some of that is certainly outside the loop. The bulk of it's inside the loop. I enjoyed driving on that this morning to Parkway. We built Erskine, including Erskine in this district, using the Gateway Fund. So it's, I think, less than authentic to suggest that it only has benefited the higher growth parts of our city.
I think it's a ratio of financial representation. So you clarified on many projects, but my point is if you're to map the representation through the Gateway Fund and individuals in Lubbock that are contributing to roadway repair through a whatever mechanism, franchise, you know, semantics aside, whatever you want to call it, are they being equally represented financially on the north side versus what they put in on the east side near Clovis, right here on the east side, inside the loop in the more deteriorated parts of downtown? That's what I'm asking is, what's the percentage that's spent in Southwest Lubbock? What's the percentage that's spent in South Lubbock? Where do we find that sort of information?
Specifically on the Gateway Fund, you could look back. I guess you could go back and look project by project and figure it out. They're all certainly identified in that manner.
Right. I think that's why he wrote it.
Yeah, I think I would take exception to the way it was. The street maintenance part of it was called out. We'll spend $10 million in street maintenance this year in cash all over the community. You know, he took us to task for the fact that there were a bunch of dirt roads in our community. I would suggest that this is the first council that ever had the guts to stand up and say, we've got dirt roads and we need to deal with it. And we have been dealing with it. When we interviewed Mr. Atkinson, one of the very first, we got to the beginning of his first interview. At the end, we asked him what it was on his mind, and he asked us two or three questions, and one of those was, explain to me why you've got 50 plus miles of roads that have never been paved in our community. It's not something I'm proud of. Frankly, there's a lot of reasons why that is there, but we're working on getting those paved. We've set aside money every year to do that, and I would imagine we will continue to do that. Yes, ma'am.
I guess maybe I've missed you a couple times you've been here, but it's good to see you here today. I do have Nicholas's report. Thank you. It's 48 pages, and I read it in one sitting, so it was no problem. But
maybe I have a comment. Maybe it's my attention span.
I mean, it caught my attention, and obviously a lot of it I felt was true. I have a comment also and a question. Obviously, if you drove, if you don't live in this community, you had to drive to get here. So you can see the vast difference between communities. It's a whole new world. So to say, to leave the past and to just focus on the future, well, we have to go back in the past to fix some of the things to get to our future. Obviously, when you look at our community. So my question to you, Mayor, with all of out the extra information, can you just tell me and those in our community, what are you going to do for our community? Well, we can reflect what we see when we drive on the other side of town that's beautiful, and we come on our side of town that's completely dissipated. It looks like a whole new world. Can you tell us what you're going to do to rectify some of our issues that stem from the past to help us get to our future?
Well, first of all, I don't think your neighborhood. I walked last night with about 150 Lubbockites, and we walked through this. We walked through this neighborhood just north of Parkway, and I found the neighborhood to be great. I don't think it's. Well, I'm answering her question. Okay, all right. So I think. I would say there are a lot of East Lubbock residents who would feel if you characterize the neighborhood as decimated, or I think that was the word you used, they would disagree with you on that. I think there's.
You come down here for coffee. We grew up here, so you can't little boy, little girl us.
I'm not little boy anybody. I'm not little boy anybody. I don't know who you are, but I'm not little boy anybody. I'm respectful.
I didn't know until today. I don't respect you. So go ahead. You got the floor.
out here and you weren't going to take people seriously.
I am taking people seriously.
You didn't even face her when she was asking
her question. Natalie had a
question. You walked away and had coffee.
And you were dismissing everybody.
But that's okay.
You turned your back to her.
Natalie, I'm sorry. I turned my back to you. I apologize for doing that when I went to get my coffee.
I don't apologize now.
I think you knew that was disrespectful. Because every single person that asked a question prior to me, you looked them in their faces. Although you argued with them, you didn't turn your back and have coffee.
Okay, I apologize for that. If you've come to one of these, you would know that it's not unusual for me to put the microphone down and go get coffee.
I don't need to be like you. I'm not here to be confrontational. I honestly want to get some answers.
Okay.
How do you explain?
I think every part of our community is very important. Okay? Mm-hmm. I really believe that. And I think my record on that I will stand with my record on that. I have.
This report says it's not. And it didn't start with you.
The community says that it's not. So you can look at the community.
And it looks like a lot of money stands to be lost by people who don't want to lose it. And that's who you're up
against. Would anyone here move, sell your house where you are and move to this community? Raise your hand, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't think so.
The roads are so great, everything's so great. Who wants to move here from Southwest Lubbock? Go ahead. You don't represent the people I know growing up here. So you might live here, but we live here.
I may not represent the people here. I live in this neighborhood, but everyone in the neighborhood is just like me.
There's no disparity because she lives here.
There are.
That's what you're saying.
I live down a very bumpy dirt road. I asked the county
let me help you just a little bit. There's no bank over here. Okay? This grocery store, we have to go on the other side of town and find things without high fructose corn syrup. Okay? No, there's not, honey. That's a WIC store. That's WIC. Okay? So there's several things on this side of town that we simply do not have, that other parts of town have. Coming, yes, I'm aware of that, but my point to her is to look at the disparities. Let's talk factual. Let's talk about right now, okay? When you look at this community and other communities that's beautiful to drive all the way on 130th to take our children to places that we don't have over here, okay? The businesses that are very scarce and few by far, talking business sense, I'm sure there's several businessmen up in this place. Now, does it make business sense to come here where you can go where there's new development and make tons of money versus coming over here where there's hardly any schools, and where there's no schools, there's very few families? Let's make sense, okay? Let's stop all the shenanigans and all the politician talk. I have small ones, and I would hate to have to tell my children, hopefully, when your mommy's age, 41 years old, your community will look better, will look like the communities on the other side of town. Let's fix it right now. Mayor, you have the opportunity to make some changes right now. That's your position. You mayor all parts of Lubbock, not just the other side of Lubbock.
So what would you suggest that I do?
As for one, what you can do with the industries that help to pollute our communities, you can either start with amortization. Okay, you can rezone or downzone.
Start with what?
Amortization.
Amortization.
Sure. Let me help you with that. What you do is you go into those areas, you determine what the cost is going to be for their benefit financially, and you tell them X amount of years, this is how much it will cost for you to recoup your benefit, okay? And you give them the amount of time to be able to be out of there. The ones, the areas that are already sitting there just vacant, you can ensure that no new industries come into our communities, okay? You can start there, sir. Those are things you can do right now.
Okay, so let's talk.
And if you need more ideas, I'll be more than happy.
Let's talk about industries. First of all, I, as mayor, am not going to tell a business to move. Okay, now, I'm not going to tell. And this is not the first time you've heard me say that. Okay, I'm not going to tell a business to move. I'm going to make sure the business operates within our laws, and we'll hold TCEQ accountable for what they may have to do from an environmental standpoint. It's unfortunate that we have some of the industrial development that separates our community.
Well, why would they care, sir? Why would they care?
Why would
Well, many of them were put here because they developed along the railroad.
Because of Jim Crow law. Stop doing the politician thing. We understand. We're not dumb.
Hey, I don't like. I'm not gonna. I would never stand up and say Jim Crow laws were good. If you want to hear me apologize for those, I apologize for them. Okay? But the piece in there, the mayor that signed that, you know when that was?
I don't care.
Do you know when it was? 1923. I disagree. The Jim Crow.
It doesn't make sense. And you're trying to make it make sense. And you're being disrespectful to everybody that asks you a question you don't agree with.
I'm not being disrespectful.
Because you don't want to answer it. Because you know the answer. That's because you're speaking for interests who have a lot of money to lose. Millions to lose. Who have already pilfered millions from everybody else to build their stuff over there. And they don't care about us.
And that's who you're speaking for. Pays for the roadways through subsidization that they utilize. And they themselves, we're here to talk about impact fees, right? The percentages in which businesses should pay, right? That should pay up front for development. And I think what Nicholas was talking about is it's a negative net for the city. So you have developers developing something and they have a sugar rush from the property tax, or the city does. And then what happens 10 years down the road when you have that mass low density urbanization sprawl on the south side that people on the north side and the east side are helping to subsidize? That's what's called extractive wealth. It happens in third world countries and not happens in our communities. And I think that's a general thing that's getting everybody riled up, is it's so clear, Mayor, and so what are you doing to address that, those terrible calculations?
Because all I hear is, I'm fine with it.
And it's like, you got to hear, you're not even going to run the studies. Sorry, guys.
Well, what are you talking about, studies?
The city is not planning on running the financial impact studies that would address this sort of thing.
That's not true. That's a fallacy. We are considering impact fees right now. I can't speak for the council. I'm going to put one vote on the council. The 2040 plan, its very first recommendation is to implement impact fees. We've had a public hearing 2 weeks ago tomorrow night, 3 weeks ago tomorrow night. We'll continue that public hearing at our meeting next week. We are due to make some interim decisions around impact fees probably very well next week, certainly before the end of July. And then we will take up impact fees right after the budget, so sometime in September, late September, early October. Impact fees are directed by state law, how you go about that. I do think that impact fees make sense. I think they're a more responsible and equitable way to develop. I've said that many times. I'll say it again right here. But there's a lot to it. You look at 10 years worth of capital projects. You divide the community up into different pieces. You have to do that to build a formula for the actual fee itself. You have to decide what part of your infrastructure goes into that impact fee. Then you determine a percentage that the developer, or the actually what it'll end up being, the homeowner pays. The cost gets passed on to the developer and then the builder and ultimately the homeowner. So that's the process that we're going through right now. It's completely in the light of day. We're being advised by both some consultants that we've hired, as well as a 7-member group called the CIAC, Capital Investment Advisory Committee, who meets in public meetings, and I think it's generally meeting pretty much every Friday, and those meetings are posted, so they're available to anybody who'd want to go to those. That's where we are on impact fees. Now, you know, I live in a part of the community that's pretty much as old as the part of the community we're in right now, and part of living in a community is that there are investments in a community, or reinvestments in a community, that might not impact the, you know, your street or your neighbor's, you know, street one over. And there is something about living in community that means that we do share some of those costs. Now, I think some of your points are very valid, okay, about, and I'm not, so to the, I want to make sure that you hear me say that, and I hope you feel like I'm being respectful in answering you, but that's where I am on this, and we will continue to work on this, and I would expect that you would see a decision from us by most likely by the end of September.
I'm a realtor, so yeah, sure. I know where the Lubbock Association of Realtors is, and I know where West Texas Home Builders are going to be against that. But also, you know, for fairness.
Yeah. So the question is, I'm going to paraphrase, but I think the question is, would I be open to some incentives?
Basically, recommendations of what to do in there.
Right.
Zero for inside of
the movement. So one of the recommendations in the report was for zero impact fees inside the loop, and I think I'm not specifically exactly for that. I'll give you an example why. We just in our last council meeting approved some rezoning to build some single family and duplexes in North Lubbock, but just outside the loop. And I think it would be, that's the kind of investment that we want. I know that it's rooftops that are part of our community that where we've got infrastructure, and it's good for our schools, it's good for a lot of things. So I think just to say inside the loop might be a little restrictive. I'm very open to the idea of providing incentives for infill development. And you know, we've seen that done with some success in other communities around the state, and I think you'll see us look at it. I know that's something that the council has asked for some more input on, and so I do think there's a very real chance that, well, I know it'll be part of the discussion. I think there's a real chance that could be part of a policy that we adopted.
Mayor Poe, I'd like to say something.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Leanne.
I'm going to get some coffee while you make your comment, Lynn.
The CPAC, which came up with the 2040 plan, and now I'm on the CPOC committee. That's the oversight committee for implementing the plan. And we had a meeting on Monday morning, and I asked about that situation of Dan Wilson, another member of the CPOC, and a builder in town who has been involved with the process of coming up with the impact fees throughout the CPAC, and he gave us some really great insight because he's been so intimately involved in that. And I asked that question of him about infill development and would this incentivize it. And what he said is that it's really not important to change the impact fee across the city, because the way it works is that wherever there is need for infrastructure is where the cost of that impact fee to the developer will be increased. So by its nature, if there's no need for new infrastructure, streets, there won't be a big impact fee. So it's automatic that it will be a lower cost, if no cost, for infill development, as long as there's not a need for new infrastructure.
That's one of the reasons I said incentives instead of saying no impact fees, because that's exactly right. There are other ways to incent infill development, and I think certainly there would be very little impact fees would have very little. Would be very small for infill development.
Right.
So,
That's by state law.
That's right.
State governs them.
Thank you, Leanne. Thanks for your service, too. You've been a great member there. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make sure I understand what she was saying, that the impact fees, whatever I would be paying, it would determine on property values or something, impact fees that I would pay.
So, good question. So, impact fees are not passed along to, what's the right way to say this? So, impact fees are something that's paid by, are fees that are paid by a developer when they start to develop either develop or redevelop a piece of property, okay? And it's actually passed down to the builder and ultimately would be passed down to the homeowner. But I guess that the idea would be it's a more equitable way of doing development. So over time, that could potentially have an impact on your property taxes that would reduce your property taxes. I think that's how I might tie that to property taxes. Jarrett, would you add anything to that? Yeah, about what would she pay in property taxes for impact fees, and I tried to explain that the answer would be
zero. At its simplest, the concept of an impact fee is to get a developer to pay up to half of its cost, pay up to half of its own cost of the public infrastructure. Today, for the public side of the infrastructure, not the water line going to the individual house, or the sewer line, or the residential street. Those pieces are paid by the builder of the development. The big streets that get you through there, the big water lines, the big sewer lines, today are amortized across the entire city. So if we say that east pays for west and south pays for north, if you're funding strictly off of rate or strictly off of property tax, that's true. What the impact fee is designed to do is say, okay, this new, whatever it is, commercial, residential, this new thing is going to increase the cost of public infrastructure because it's not there. It's not big enough. On an impact fee model, that particular demand directly shares in its cost. Thus, the piece that is spread out through a rate or through a property tax is lessened. So does east still pay west and south still pay north? Yes, but at a much smaller percentage. We'll do what?
So I guess we don't pay it.
We do not have impact fees at all. So today, when we pay for the expansion of whatever the next growth is, when Erskine was done or when Milwaukee was done, that is truly spread across the community as a whole. And some portion, sorry to interrupt, but some portion of that public infrastructure should be shared across the community as a whole. Okay, because I could drive east, north, south, west, anywhere I choose to.
Now somebody take the bus.
Working on that too. Some portion probably should. That's the whole concept of the community. What the impact fee is about is how much.
Does it cover, so is the city solvent? Like how long after the initial property tax, plus even the impact fee, aside from utilities, does that remain solvent? And at what point does it become the impact fees are negligible or reach a point where it's a negative cost for the infrastructure development? You know, I'm sure for the first few years.
Don't interrupt.
Sure.
So, impact fees don't go negative. They are generally only paid once. Why? Because that base cost of the new infrastructure is new. After it exists, after it's been paid for over time, now becomes a maintenance.
That's what I mean. That's when I say negative, I mean the projection. The projection of the urban development maintenance over a period of 5 to 10 years. Even if the impact fee is at the max, how much does that cover for a projected 5 to 10 years?
It is not designed to cover maintenance in any form or fashion.
That's
the problem.
Yeah. What you're missing is the time horizon. Okay? The time horizon that goes to all of this new stuff where it was new, now Now it's existing, it's paid for, and we need to take care of it. By then, property tax benefits and all of those things will flow into it.
The property taxes in the area cover it?
Today, you have no form of that model where the man being created is directly sharing a portion of the cost of that. It's still being amortized as the whole, and new contributes to the whole. But it contributes over time, not up front, and the cost is up front. My final deal, and I'll stop and go back to the mayor.
Do you need a mic? We can't hear you.
Come on over.
No, I'm not going to come on over. Why don't you grab the mic?
The thing
you're going to be talking for him. Take the mic.
Because you're talking for us, or at us, right?
To do it is up front. Where it kills any community is to put in public infrastructure after things have grown and built and developed around the unit cost.
Okay,
Merrill.
All right, thanks, Jerry. Test.
Can I say one other thing?
Sure, go for it.
So while the impact fee issue is going on, what we're hearing from at the county, city, the council meetings is from not from the developers. Oh, thank you.
It comes from the developers. Apartment association people, builders. And really, in the long run, the impact fee is, I believe, good for them. But they don't see it that way. This is my opinion right now. So I think it's really an important thing for taxpayers and ratepayers, who this is most directed towards, to show up to these meetings and express themselves about it. Because they're not being heard right now. And the next one is on the 23rd, Tuesday evening, 5:00. It's true that there's, you know, ongoing costs that are not covered by the impact fee, which will be covered by tax and ratepayers. Unless something changes on that. I think the impact fees personally are important to have myself. And I think it would be good for the representation of tax and ratepayers to be there.
Okay. About this question from somebody that hadn't asked a question. We've got a lot of people here. So anybody? Yes, sir.
So you don't like talking about the past. So let's talk about the present. When we say East Lubbock, we know we mean the Black community. When we say North Lubbock, we know we mean the Hispanic community. So you, sir, in 2020, are the mayor of a segregated city. What are you going to do to help fix that problem? Right now, not about the past, right now.
I don't think I'm the mayor of a segregated city. I think that's a difference in an opinion.
It's a world that's not real to you. That's not your reality, that's our reality.
But y'all know how to use it derogatorily when you're speaking about somebody, correct? In the city?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
You're not sure. We grow up with it. And I don't really appreciate any of y'all coming into this neighborhood and disrespecting people like this. You're insulting our intelligence. You're pretty much saying, I can't do nothing, won't do nothing, don't care about it. This is what we're getting from you. So at this point, I'm done with this meeting. I don't respect you as a man. I'm going to be using my vote and my voice to get us a new mayor, because clearly that's what we need, first of all.
First Tuesday in November.
Second of all, we need to break up this little conglomerate y'all got going on that you've been holding on to. It's over. We need to break it up.
What conglomerate are you talking
about,
sir?
Like, read the report and actually understand it. And with all your questions of validity, go publicly on the news or something and tell us all your points. Where you're questioning the validity, fact check it, and let us know. Get back to us. I'm out of here.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Yep. Okay, since you want to answer,
Kenny, you got a question?
I have a second one.
I'd like to say, as a concerned citizen of Lubbock, I've been here since there used to be a Holiday Inn at this building. And I've heard some remarks here, and I thought of I bit my lip when I heard some of these, that you or any of these other people here, but if I have a problem, I talked to Mr. Atchison this morning. He said he'd check into it. He does all the time. I see Abby, I see Becky, I see Bob, I see Massengale, I see Sheila. I've known Sheila ever since she was born. But I go like to you and we go pick up trash. And I wish everybody else would pick up some trash. But when I go to Steve or Juan or Sheila, they don't say, well, you're not in my district. They say, oh, let me write this down. I'll check on it. It may be an hour, it may be a week, but they call me back and they say, I know I called you one day or talked to you one day, and there was a slightly large manhole over on Memphis. And within the hour, it got taken care of. But I hear these people say, well, this or that, you know. But my dad, if some of y'all did know him, he was way over 6 foot, and they called him Tiny. He weighed 350, he was a friendly undertaker. He always said, when we see a lot of these problems, go look in the mirror and you'll see where the problems is. But I can sit down with you at a coffee bar or at your office or on the street or at Covenant, and you sit there and you show me, and I go look it up. A lot of things you can't do that some of these people say, well, we need to do this or we need to do that. You would love to do it that way. I go see Bob and he says, well, the law says, and he shows me, but we'd love to do that. And I see what Bob's talking about or what you're talking about or Steve. Why don't some of you go out and look to see what's going on? Y'all are trying to do all your, and y'all are not overpaid. I know that for a fact.
That's
one
of the points in his report.
Right?
I mean, look at your
city. And, I don't care what your mother and dad tells me about you, but you're a good kid.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kenny. I appreciate
it. I'm sure he's been here a long time. And for his information, I just built a brand new home in East Lubbock, so I'm doing my part, okay? It's not enough. This brother right here, he walks the community with the kids to combat violence in our community. This brother over here, he cleans up in our community. So to say that we don't do enough, we do our part. But here's the problem. We can't do it by ourselves. We need our mayor and our city council members to vote and to have us to have infrastructure over here with those franchise fees that they can help pay for our infrastructure over here. That's what we need over here.
So since you didn't answer my first question, I'm going to ask another one.
Well, actually, I was trying to, if we recall, I was trying to answer it when the gentleman to your left interrupted.
Yeah,
so.
You said statistics were feelings. That's right. So people keep
what?
Saying.
I said what?
Statistics were feelings.
I didn't say that.
Again, you're acting like people are dumb here. It's okay.
Don't treat me like some Kevin, okay?
We're getting a very clear picture of how you feel about the city. So people keep saying they need to have their voices heard. But when it came to the community development grants, their people showed up and people made their voices heard. And it didn't matter because the city employees pushed the agenda they wanted and they pushed that through. So how do we know that when we show up and have our voices heard, how do we know that it's just not gonna be overrun? Because that's the other problem, is that happens again and again, no matter how much the community speaks up, the city employees just push through what they want.
So which community development grant are you talking about? I'm sorry.
I'm talking about the whole process. I'm talking about the fact that the director of that program said she didn't want that money to go to housing, even though that's what those development grants are for. I'm talking about the fact that the state had to make Lubbock redo their public hearings because they didn't do them the right way the first time. And then after people came in and said, this is what we need to happen, nothing changed. They just put through the agenda that they wanted in the first place.
I can resend you an email if you need it. If it's news to you.
What's on there?
What?
Consolidating
plan. Am I saying the wrong thing?
Which one? Sheila, which, tell me, what?
The consolidating plan, the community development.
Right. Right, right. But I don't remember the feedback that he's talking about that we got. Can you elaborate on that?
Was
at the community development at the community development meeting, not at the council meeting, right?
What they're speaking in reference to, I think the push was to for the city to do more for affordable housing. They go there $25. Push for more affordable housing, and it was one of the impediments that they had in their deal. I think the push was for them to utilize it in a different manner that the city does, because the city provides funding for those agencies that provide the affordable housing. That's what the deal was, and I think that was, if remind me, help me if I don't recall. I try to remember. This ain't died, but I try to remember. But that was a deal. But I will say this, that everything that gets done that way is not always 100%. I think the biggest thing that caught us this year with that is the fact that some of those funds, we were able to assist people this year with their rental assistance, things like that, through those home dollars. And I'm wondering if we had done something different than that, that folks would have not been able to get the help. I don't know if that was something that was foresight or what. I don't know. But I don't think we would have been able to do that. But you're right. Sometimes the decisions that get made are not as favorable. I promise you, they aren't. What I want to say this morning is that I sure would love to see y'all on a Tuesday. I would sure love to see everybody's name on an application to serve on the boards and committees. Hear me when I say, when she talked about her position and things like that, it's because people are signing up to do some of that work. I promise you, it's not a one-man show, and it's not. I appreciate the fact that you built your homes. Everybody else ought to be building a home. Everybody in this community, and those of you who travel from afar, should be coming over here buying some of the things that are here so that we support the businesses that are here now.
Yes, ma'am.
And we make it inviting so more businesses can come. When you build, Mr. Builder, don't forget. Don't you forget. People in this community buy homes too. I've been here for a whole just under 60 years in this very community. Raised my children here. And people will do it. Some of the things that people ask us to do are private investments and things like that. So some of those conversations, raise your hand if you're a builder in here can do some things about that. Raise those hands. Realtors, builders, developers. You know some of them today. So those are the songs we sing. Those are the songs we get to sing. But we support what we have, and we make them strong. And we own those homes so our children know that they get to own too, invest in themselves, their families, and their cotton-picking community.
Yes, ma'am.
We get to do it all. I don't give a rip what color you are. I don't. Come. I like your money too. Your money pays taxes too. It's no secret. These guys will tell you, I'm for impact fees. All kick and caboodle. Because I think what it does, when impact fees are charged, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. City Manager, I get excited sometimes. And then if other folks are paying their part, that frees up funds for the city to do some other things. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I tell you, I sure would love to see you guys when we're talking impact fees. I got all of your letters. I don't always answer like that sometimes. People call me and I get to talking and I answer those things. But I get your emails. I get all of that. I appreciate you, AJ, for hearing me when I said, man, there's some things we get to do. And it's something for everybody to do. If I can't do it, if I can't walk the street, I need some young legs to do it for me. But we get to do this cotton picking thing together. It ain't just on me. It ain't just on you, Natalie. It ain't just on you, ma'am. And I don't even know who you are, but your lipstick sure is cute. And it's not, but we get to do this thing together. And if we don't do what we can do, shame on us. Mr. Developer, if you don't do what you can do, shame on you.
City Councilwoman, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So here's my question to you as City Councilwoman. Uh-huh. What are the plans that we have for East Lubbock? Do we have plans in the work? Do we have actionable plans written down where funds are allocated to do some things here in East Lubbock?
Let me talk to you, but I'm glad you asked. You ain't been coming to none of my meetings. Okay. Yes, you did. You bought a house. Some of the things that get to happen, and I'll say this. How many of y'all like new toys? I do.
Yes.
So when you buy new toys, they're shinier. They look prettier. The color's brighter. That's what's happening. new toys are being built. In my mama's house, I didn't get new shoes unless I took care of the ones I had. And Nicholas, I believe that's what you're saying in this thing. That all of this city inside, that the city inside the loop is older city. And a lot of the ordinances, a lot of the codes, and a lot of the policies and all that that get created to make that beautiful and shiny, they weren't in place when this was here. If you'll note, nobody can build without having some green stuff around their building anymore. It was all parking lot and cement. Those of you who are old enough that have lived over here. Yeah. So those things weren't in place. And I can't tell Mr. Johnny that you go plow up your parking lot and you plant a tree. I wish I could, because I promise you I'd do it. So some of the things of old are what impact this. And being able to go back and tell somebody, no, you fix that and make it just like that is pretty darn difficult. So your home, because it's newer, looks different than mine for that reason. So my deal of it is, as we pave those streets, because when I first met Mr. Atkinson, I said, I need your help with my communities. And I'm not just talking about the eastern portion of the city. I don't use east side. The eastern portion of the city, I have folks that live in the south portion of the city that are also a part of my district, that because they were taking it at a later point in time, they didn't get some of those things. I'm paving streets out there too. And he told me that you can't do what you need to do in your community if you don't have streets for folks to live on. So that's the first plan, and that's been in place. You want to get an idea of a new street, drive down Idaloo Road between East 19th and Idaloo Road and go down Ute and East 17th. And they're happening, and you get to make them happen. But we also, while those things are happening, I need builders and developers beginning to build like they built over there in King's Dominion so that we support that, so that it continues to happen. Because King Dominion's have built more houses since they didn't have city money than they did when they were getting city money. So I don't know if that was a motivation. So it's not so much the plans that we necessarily have, it's that we support the plans that individuals have to make this place better. As Cannon organizes to clean the community, doggone it, we do it here. But I also told Cannon, this ain't the only place that need cleaning. We need to go some other places and clean up. So those things are what happened. To say this is the exact plan, no, you recognize what the needs are. And one of the needs is that we have citizens living on dirt roads.
In the 2040 plan, there was mentioned that there was going to be a direct, the attention was going to be made to North and East Lubbock. We haven't necessarily seen that. I mean, I know you mentioned that road, which is very important that it was paved.
That's just one.
Just one of many. So my thing is that actionable plans that were said they were going to be put in place for North and East Lubbock, where is that? Like, what can we see in terms of monetary value that's set aside? And my question to you, can you honestly say that enough has been done thus far, or can much more be done?
There's always more that can be done. And I promise you, that's the song that gets sung every day. I'll tell you that the battle in the back room is a whole lot deeper than it is once it gets up front. And I need folks like yourself coming and talking about those things and standing and calling for those things. We have an oversight committee that is looking at some of those things in those plans. I believe there's an analysis, I can't think of the name of, that should be done that was a part of that. This impact fee situation is one of those things, freeing up funds to be able to do some additional things. I think we do that, making maybe possibly some incentives and things like that for people to build. Because here's my deal, if we don't have folks in houses, we don't get to put butts in schools. Because when my community was so terribly upset when they closed aisles, but I couldn't help them, I ain't having no more babies. So I don't have any, you see what I'm saying? So as we have an older community, the stock that's there is different than the young folks who are building with their families in other places. So we need young folks who can have babies or got babies or gonna have babies to live in the community to help us make it sustainable. So as a part of that, you have an oversight committee that will be looking, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. AJ's on that committee. Lynn is also on that committee to begin to look at those things. There's analysis, there's all different pieces. There's a unified development code that's a part of that 2040. There's looking at the impact fees that's a part of that. All of those different pieces are it. And then the neighborhood plans, forgot all about that, because that's coming. So those are parts of that would be plans. Are they matched with money? I don't know, because we don't know what that looks like totally. Because the neighborhood plan should be discussed with the neighborhoods. And if I had all the money in the world, and I don't, because if I did, I'd have to raise your taxes to get it. Which is that's a whole nother day of discussion. Because that makes people mad when you talk about that. Because money doesn't come out of the sky for the city. We need people buying things for our sales tax, which actually runs this city, because our property taxes only cover how much, Mr. Atkinson, of what the city does?
100% of the property tax will not pay for the police work.
So we're not talking about a lot of money with that gets to be. I don't get to say, hey, I want a certain amount of money for my area.
I have a question.
Yeah.
AJ, thanks, Sheila. But let me just add, so that the neighborhood planning piece is something you should see us begin in our next fiscal year's budget. That's something that we've talked about. It's called out by the 2040 plan. That'll be done at a neighborhood level, so it's not going to be done by city staff. I mean, they'll be part of it, but it'll be the stakeholders will be the ones that'll help build that plan. So that is coming. It's something that's called out in Nicholas's piece, and you need to hold us accountable to that. AJ.
So Sheila talked about the schools. So my question is, when I was a kid, there were 6 elementaries, 2 middle schools, and a high school in East Lubbock. And since then, we have 2 elementaries, 1 middle school, and a high school, and a middle school that's kind of failing, or has been failing for 5 straight years. So when we say we want people to move into the neighborhood, how are we getting them to want to move into a neighborhood where you have to drive your kids across town to get to a school that's even subpar, you know, that's good enough that you want your kids to go to? Because I drove by a Cooper school, which we are all of it. I drove by a Cooper elementary school that looked almost maybe even better than Estacada High School. And me having kids, I want them to have the best opportunity. So what are we doing to incentivize business and schools representation to make our community better? Because I care about the kids. We all know that's why we walk on Tuesdays. It's because I think the opportunities that our kids are missing out on is what's causing some of the issues that keep overlapping each other.
Yeah. So I agree with it's about the kids, and I think it's about education. I think that's how we solve a lot of our problems, and you and I have talked about that. After the walk last night, I drove President Skubnik around a little bit, and he doesn't know East Lubbock as well as he said, man, I got to know it better. And so I took him by Irvin Elementary. And I showed him where Isles used to be, and I took him by I took him by Irvin and explained the consolidation of the schools we've got to have kids in those schools, and the schools have to be held accountable by parents. And you know, the Dunbar story is a tough story. It's something that we've been working on for a long time. And I can remember when I was on the school board, having to go through something similar to what they went through last year with Dunbar. And we had community forums, and we'd have less than 10 people there at Dunbar, less than 10 people there to tell us what they wanted. And many of those were people whose kids were long gone. They just were people that had deep roots in the community. We got to have parents in the classrooms helping out. We got to have, folks holding those schools accountable. We have to have parents helping kids at home. Just like you do at your home. And, I walked with your kids last night. I know what that's like. But that's how we make a difference. And we make it one person at a time. There's nothing that I can do, or that Sheila can do, or that Pastor Stubblefield can do ourselves to make that change alone. It's got to be all of us working on that. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen tomorrow. It's something that we have to stay committed to the long haul, and that's why I'm so thankful for your willingness to work and to live the community where you grew up, to invest in that community every day, I think, and there's a number of people like that here. I'm not saying you're the only one, but I'm thankful for that, and I'll stand with you to try to make all of Lubbock better, particularly in East Lubbock where we are, or eastern part of the city, as Ms. Patterson Harris calls it.
If that's the community's fault, who gets credit for Estacado doing so well? That's what I don't get. Is it always the community's fault that Dunbar isn't doing well, but Estacado is our top performing high school?
I don't. If I said it was the community's fault, that was wrong. I think
you said there was nothing y'all could do, and that the people need to keep them accountable.
Well, I think
that's exactly what you said.
That's not what I said, but
I guess what we're all kind of getting at is that you and the city leadership have the ability to create the conditions that would allow for investment, for people to move into the community, so that there can be created a virtuous cycle, so that we can have money for our schools, but you are seemingly disinterested in starting up that process. And you're pushing it all off as, oh, this is your personal responsibility. Well, yes, of course. We can all take personal responsibility. But you are in a position of power, and that means that you can create the conditions for all of that to be happening. And that's what all these people are here saying to you, is that you are failing, these council members are failing in creating those conditions sufficiently to launch that off.
So I agree with some of, I don't agree with all that, but I do agree that it's our job to create an environment where people want to invest, okay? And to provide the framework for that. And I do feel like we have done some of that. Could we do more? Sure, we could do more. We don't have an unlimited budget. One example is we have incentives in place for East Lubbock businesses that want to improve, want to renovate or update their business. How many have we done? We've done four or five?
Yeah.
Four or five. That fund still stands. We're ready to fund those. It's much like the same model, the program that we've had very much success in downtown with. I think the council stands ready to continue to fund that, to sponsor that. We do have to create an environment where people want to invest. That means good streets. That means safe neighborhoods. I think that is our charge.
I have a question.
I got one final question, and then we're done.
So as AJ said, we're worried about the schools.
Yes, ma'am.
So we know that parents should be involved, but we're not the first community that's had zero parent participation, and schools have also progressed. So what is our plan when we can't get the parents to come out and say what we want? How do we still save the school when we don't have parental involvement? So we already know that people are not showing up for many reasons, the history of why people don't show up. So we can't just say, well, parents don't show up, parents, but I also worked where I walked in Dunbar and we have tape on the floor. And to be, you're on the wrong side of the line, like we're in a prison, but also walked in irons and it's very open and we're doing different things. So there's a different culture in the schools. So even though parents are not showing up and people are not, what is our plan after that? We have to have a plan after that. We can't just say people are not showing up. This is what happens. They're failing. What's our plan?
Well, I don't think you throw it. This is an opinion. I don't make the decisions for the schools. And you can talk to Pastor Stubblefield when we're finished if you'd like. I don't think you throw it out the window if parents aren't involved. I mean, you try to recruit the very best teachers. I mean, that's proven that, the teacher has a big impact on the learning regardless of where they are in the community. I think LISD has done a very good job in maintaining their buildings and trying to update their buildings. Now, Dunbar was built at a different time than ours, just like Bean and Roscoe Wilson were built at a different time than Irvin and Miller.
I'm not talking about the building.
You were talking about the building.
I'm talking about the culture.
Okay.
Of the
okay.
The lines on
the. Well, but the lines on the. But if you go into. There used to be 52 school buildings, and I don't know what we're. Maybe 40, 49 right now. If you go. They're all different. That principal and that leadership team decides how they want. So some of them have. have hallways where they expect kids to walk on one side or the other. And that they're going to drive that at that level. And that's where it should be. Those decisions should be made. I think where you see schools that succeed in any environment, you have great leadership in that school at a principal level. You have great teachers. And you have kids that feel safe and want to come to school and learn. And that's the goal, I think, of any school anywhere in our country. And I think, I know that's what that the folks at Lubbock ISD, whether it be Bill Stubblefield and the six other members of the school board or the administration, wants to accomplish. And, you know, we're going to support them on that. I believe in public education to the core of my being, and I think it's what makes our country different and what can make us a successful. Thank y'all for coming out. We do this every month. We move around town.
40 to 50 years. East Lubbock, you know it, has been neglected and has been looked and pushed aside. Why in the world is that happening? And what do you feel like when you lay down to sleep at night, knowing that Southwest Lubbock is expanding, you have no plan to keep up with the upkeep and the street maintenance and all the things, yet Lubbock, East Lubbock, gets pushed to the side like a little baby. Now I'm sick of it.
I'll finish with this. Well, we do have a plan. We do have a plan. And we do have a plan. Yes, it is involved in it. Thanks for coming out today. I look forward to seeing you again next month. Abby, where are we next month? Do you know? Okay, I think we're in District 3 next month, somewhere in the middle of town. Thank you for being here. I look forward to seeing you soon.